If your walk with God feels like a constant tryout, praying harder, serving more, performing better, what if the good news is this? Salvation was never based on your merit in the first place. Let's dive in. Welcome to the Walk with the Defender Daily Devotional. I'm your host, Pastor Brian Noble, CEO of Family Policy Institute of Washington. Hey, I hope you are having a very blessed day. We are diving into God's Word in just a few moments. A couple announcements before we do that. If you're enjoying this series called Israel, the Church, and God's Sovereignty, I want to encourage you to subscribe, like, share, comment, and place in that Washington Defender app. Place it into your huddle. That really does help us accomplish our goal. So what is our goal? We want to change our hearts so that we change the public square. Could you imagine if everyone in Washington State, all 8 million of us, had a heart change, where our hearts were transformed by the Word of God? I 110% promise that if that heart change happens, our policies will change, our leadership will change, our families will change, our church will change, our individual responsibility will change, our government will change, our law enforcement will change. Everything will change if we have a heart change. And so that is what we are attempting to do here at FPIW and FPIW Action. Also, if you're a financial supporter of us, we want to say thank you so very much. Both FPIW and FPIW Action operate off of your generous donations on a monthly basis. And so we're grateful for that. Continue to be faithful in that, and we'll continue to be faithful to preach God's Word, teach those around us, stand for biblical values in the public square. In case you've forgotten, our mission, it is to defend and advance biblical values in the public square. We do that through registering our positions and getting out the, you know, voter integrity, those kind of things. And so we know that we can educate and activate the body of Christ in such a way that our voice is beginning to be heard around our state. So let's dive into our daily devotion. It comes from Romans chapter 9, and it's going to be verses 15 and 16. I'll read it here in just a few moments, but today we're going to focus on Romans chapter 9, verses 15 and 16 with a supporting text of Titus 3:5. There's one big idea for today, and that we will run through everything we do. Salvation is mercy, not merit. Now think about that. Salvation is mercy, not merit. I want that sentence to sit within your heart over these next 15 to 20 minutes, that salvation is mercy and not merit. And so we go. I want you to think not only about your private spiritual life, but also about your public life, how you speak, what you post, your vote, your advocacy in the public square. Our devotional today is going to aim at celebrating salvation as rooted in God's free mercy, not in our human effort. And the key application question is this: in what ways are you still trying to qualify for what God only gives by mercy? So let's start out by reading Romans 9, 15 and 16. It says this: for he says to Moses, for God says to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I have compassion. So then it does not depend on the man who wills or the man who runs, but on God who has mercy. Now let's go over to Titus, and we're going to start in verse 1 and work our way down to verse 6 or 7 here, but verse 5 is our future verse. Remind them to be subject to rulers, to authorities, to be obedient, to be ready for every good deed, to malign no one, to be peaceable, gentle, showing every consideration for all men. For we also once were foolish ourselves, disobedient, deceived, enslaved to various lusts and pleasures, spending our life in malice and envy, hateful, hating one another. But when the kindness of God, our Savior, and his love for mankind appeared, here's our verse, he saved us not on the basis of our deeds, which we have done in righteousness, but according to his mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Spirit, whom he poured out upon us richly through Jesus Christ, our Savior, so that being justified by his grace, we would not be heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Let me read that last verse again. I messed it up a little bit. So that being justified by grace, we would be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. All right. So that's our verse for today. And our as we look at our supporting text of Titus 3:5. So here is what we're trying to accomplish. Salvation is mercy, not merit. God's saving work in your life does not hang on your willpower, your record, or your performance, but on his sovereign compassion. God's sovereign mercy is found in Romans chapter 9, and it sits in the middle of Paul's discussion about Israel, the nations, and God's promises. Many in ethnic Israel have rejected the Messiah, Jesus Christ, the risen Savior, and Gentiles are being brought in. And the questions looming in the background, has God's word failed? Is God unjust? And Paul is answering that in this section, is that God is absolutely just and absolutely faithful because he is absolutely sovereign in showing mercy. He reminds us of what God told Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. Think about that. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. God does not look down the corridors of time, identify the morally impressive people and say, hey, those are my people. Instead, he freely chooses to set his love on the unworthy, the weak, the ungodly, and to pour out mercy where there is no claim, no entitlement, and no merit. So verse 16, it says, so then it does not depend. This draws on this conclusion. So it does not depend on the man who wills or the man who runs, but on God who has what? Mercy. Our internal desires and our running and our extended efforts are real, but they are not the decisive explanation for salvation. The decisive explanation is God's mercy. I want you to say that big idea out loud with me. Salvation is based upon mercy and not merit. Salvation is based on mercy and not merit. So Israel, the church, and God's freedom. Now, how does this connect to Israel and the church? God's chosen Israel to be his covenant people, not because they were more numerous or more righteous, but because he loved them and made promises to Abraham. Even within Israel, not all believed. There were always a distinction between physical Israel and the true believing remnant within Israel. Paul is saying in Romans chapter 9 that God has the right to show mercy to believing Jews and to believing Gentiles alike. And he also has the right to leave others in their rebellion. God's plan has always been bigger than any one ethnic group or political nation. His people are those on whom he has freely had mercy in Christ. This means the church today cannot claim superiority over Israel, and no nation today can claim a special status before God based on its history or its laws. God is not bound to our flags, our parties, or our platforms. He is bound only to his own promises and his own merciful character. Once again, the big idea, salvation is mercy, not merit. God's people across Israel and the church exist because God has been merciful, not because they were deserving. Titus 3:5, let's go back there again, just to emphasize it. He saved us not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to his mercy by the washing of regeneration and renewing in the Holy Spirit. So he says this very clearly, mercy not works. As we look at Titus 3:5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. He is talking to people who used to be foolish, disobedient, and enslaved to various passions and pleasures, but who have now been saved by grace. Notice that he does not say he saved us because we finally got our act together. God does not say he saved us because we stood on the right side of every moral issue. He says, not by works, but according to God's mercy. And then he adds, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. In other words, salvation is a supernatural cleansing and renewing work that God himself does in the heart by the Holy Spirit on the basis of, say it with me, mercy. That means even our best works of righteousness, our serving, our giving, our activism, our public stands, our fruit, and they're not foundations. They grow out of mercy. They do not purchase mercy. Let that big idea, that concept in front of you, salvation is mercy, not merit. Let it resonate in you today. So how does this apply personally? How are you still trying to qualify? Ask yourself that. Examine yourself. How am I still trying to qualify myself? Our application question is this: in what ways are you still trying to qualify what God only gives by mercy? Let me suggest a few possibilities. Maybe you're trying to qualify through spiritual performance. You think, if I just pray more, read more, serve more, then God will finally be pleased with me, finally accept me. Prayer, scripture, and service are beautiful gifts, but they cannot make God love you more than he already does in Christ Jesus. Maybe you're trying to qualify through comparison. You look at others, people, especially people you disagree with politically or morally, and you quietly think, well, at least I'm not like them. God must be more pleased with me. That attitude reveals that your confidence is in your supposed superiority, not in God's mercy. Maybe you're trying to qualify through pain. You assume that because you have suffered, because you have sacrificed, because you have been faithful in a hard place, God somehow owes you. But mercy, by definition, is never owed. It's always a gift. Right now, ask the Holy Spirit to put his finger on one specific area where you are still trying to qualify. I want you to name it quietly before the Lord. And then preach this truth to that area of your heart. Salvation is by mercy, not merit. So let's talk about, as you walk into the workplace today, your public square application. Think about this. Maybe it's in the political realm. Now let's intentionally think about how we might apply this. When we forget that salvation is mercy, not merit, our public engagement becomes harsh, self-righteous, and fearful. We start to believe that our side is morally superior and that God's approval rises and falls with our political wins. But if we really believe Romans 9 and Titus 3, that God saves according to his mercy, not our works, several things change. One of the things that changes, our tone changes. We still speak with clarity about life, marriage, sexuality, religious liberty, and justice, but we stop speaking as if we are the naturally good people and everyone else is the naturally bad people. We remember that the only difference between us and anyone else is mercy received, not mercy achieved. The second, our goal changes. We will advocate for righteous laws and policies, but we know that no law can regenerate the human heart. So we pursue both justice and evangelism. We fight for the vulnerable, and we point to the only Savior who can wash and renew them. Third, our hope changes. We no longer hang on ultimate hope on courts, elections, or cultural trends, because Romans 9 reminds us that God's purpose stands by his own choice and his own mercy. We work hard, we show up, we testify, we vote, but we rest knowing that the rise and fall of nations does not threaten God's ability to save anyone he intends to save. Imagine a Christian community that carries this into every hearing, every school board meeting, every social media thread. We would be known not just for what we stand against, but for the humility and compassion that can only come from people who know they were rescued purely by mercy. So before you post, before you speak, before you step up to a microphone, ask yourself, am I acting like salvation is mercy, not merit? Let me give you a couple scenarios. Picture a hearing on a pro-life bill. You stand up to speak for the unborn, and you must be clear, truthful, and courageous. But if you remember that your own salvation is mercy and not merit, you will also speak with tenderness towards mothers who have had abortions and towards legislators who disagree, knowing they need the same mercy that you have received. Or imagine a debate over sexuality and gender policy. You hold a biblical worldview. You defend parental rights. You push back against harmful ideologies. But you do so with tears, not with sneers, because you remember that you were once foolish and deceived too, and that if you see the truth now, it is only because God's opened your eyes in mercy. Or think of a contentious election. You may have strong convictions about which candidate or party is better aligned with biblical principles, yet you refuse to treat political identity as a measure of who is savable or beyond reach. Because Romans 9 tells you that God can show mercy on whom he will, even on people you would never have chosen. In each of these scenarios, the big idea guards your heart. Salvation is mercy, not merit. It keeps you bold and gentle at the same time, as we return to the text, worshiping the God of mercy. Let's hear the scriptures again. Now, with all this in mind, Romans 9:15. Let's go back there real quick. And let's see what God has to say, if there's something new that jumps out. 9:15. For he says to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I have compassion. So then it does not depend on the man who wills or the man who runs, but on God who has mercy. And if we go to Titus really quick again, and we'll just go to 3:5 only. Titus 3:5, not by works or righteousness which comes have been done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. Do you hear the steady drumbeat of those verses? God saves. God has mercy. God regenerates and renews. Our role is to receive, to trust, to respond in gratitude and obedience, but to never, ever boast. So how do we respond? First, when you receive mercy, respond with worship. Thank God that your salvation does not rest on the fragility of your will or the inconsistency of your performance, but on the unchanging mercy of Almighty God. Second, respond with repentance. Confess the ways you've tried to qualify, whether that be through performance or comparison or politics, and turn again to the mercy of Jesus Christ. Third, be faithful. Be faithful in the public square. Step into the public square not as a self-appointed savior of the culture, but as a humbled recipient of mercy, eager to bear witness to the God who saves by grace alone. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for this day. And we have received your salvation by mercy and not by merit. Humble our hearts, God. Point out the areas of pride, arrogance, self-qualification, self-righteousness. God, point them out so that we can repent, God. We turn to you, the living God, and we pray that you would have your way. God, we pray for our elected officials. We pray for Bob Ferguson's salvation today. We pray that he will come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And the mercy that I've received, I pray that he will receive that same mercy, God. God, we pray for those in our city councils and those in our county commissions and our sheriffs, God. The mercy that we have received, God, let them know that mercy is available to them. Thank you, God, for drawing them to the cross and going before us today. Lord, help us as we testify during legislative session. Help us to be abundantly clear, but also abundantly humble. Let us have the attitude of Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. Go out there and defend in advance biblical values in the public square. God bless.
You love our beautiful state, but does fighting for issues that most affect families ever feel like you're climbing alone? It can feel like an uphill climb in a hostile environment that Champions causes detrimental to Washington families. Again and again, the summit feels out of reach, but you don't have to climb alone. With like-minded people fighting for Washington families by your side, the journey becomes not just possible, but powerful. The Defender app, brought to you by the Family Policy Institute of Washington, connects you with your team for the climb ahead. Connect with conservatives who care about issues affecting families in your specific county and across our state in order to make our voices be heard locally and in Olympia. Simply click Learn to stay informed about the latest news affecting families. With one click, press Huddle to team up with other conservative minds in your specific county who care about how these issues affect you and your unique community. Then simply press Activate to get involved and to make your voice heard on legislation that matters in Olympia. With the Washington Defender app, you won't face the fight alone. Together, we can make a difference for families in Washington. Download the Washington Defender app today, a simple way to let your voice be heard.